Tasting. Okay, come on. Okay, and you said in a biblical, practical, and expositorial.
Yes, sir.
That's right. Just in case this tape goes out anywhere, okay. All right, good to see you. Hey, how you like my new shoes? Huh? You like them?
Yeah.
Lunar Air, they're called Lunar Air. Live strong. You have those? Who has them? You do? Where are they at? You got them on right now? They're at home. You didn't bring them up here? What? They're too nice to bring up here. What do you mean, man? This is a nice place. The main man's back there in the sound booth back there. Right? I only bring the best. I left my other Nikes at home because these are better, all right? All right. I'm from Saginaw, Michigan. How many have ever heard of Saginaw, Michigan? Yeah. Saginaw, Michigan. You were born in Saginaw, Michigan? Oh, okay. That's somebody said. Probably. All right. But anyway, Saginaw, Michigan. FBI has declared 2 years now, 2 years running, that we're the most violent city per capita in America. Let's hear it for Saginaw! Whenever you drive through Saginaw, you guys bob and weave when you go through Saginaw. You never can tell when a bullet may be coming through the window and you could die driving through Saginaw, Michigan. 32 years, been there. It's been great. It's been a great ride. We're living large in Saginaw, Michigan. Yeah, we love it. My wife back there in the back. There she is. Wave right there. See her right back there. My wonderful wife. My first serious girlfriend in my entire life. We went on a blind date, and actually, this is so cool. It was at a church banquet, and I cared nothing at all about girls, but I had a friend that needed a chaperone. They said, if you'll come, we'll hook you up with this pretty girl, and you can go to this banquet. And okay, and that was like at the end. That was like in the ninth grade. Okay, end of the eighth grade, beginning of ninth grade. So. Like, you know, she sat over there and I sat over here. And then I was a senior in high school and I was getting ready to graduate. It was in April, my senior year. And I said, man, I think I need a girlfriend. And so there were other girls. But they were just like, you know, there's just like, you know, just, you know. There was one girl named Cindy Grubb. She had a little pug nose. I still remember her. She was a great roller skater. And she was good for youth activities. We have her roller skating. And then we had another girl. She was a good volleyball player. So when, you know, we had volleyball youth activities, then I'd be with her because she was a good volleyball player. But anyway, kind of getting the idea. And there was this other girl. She was a real good pizza eater. And we never really got along. But anyway, I called her up. I was in student council. I went to a public high school. I was in student council, and I was sitting across from this guy who's now a postman. His name was Ken Darling. I said, I'm looking for a good girl, not a girl that just, you know, wants a neck and all that kind of stuff. I'm looking for a girl that's a good girl. I'm really looking for a good girl. He said, I know a good girl. Her name is Kathy Kendall. I said, Kathy Kendall? I know that girl. I took her out in the eighth grade, or in the eighth grade, beginning of ninth grade. I know her. And so I'm thinking, she's been waiting 4 years for this call. And so I called her up. and she said, well, let me check with my dad. Well, that's always good, you know. Let me check with my dad. Okay, my dad said it'd be fine. What are we going to do? I said, we're going to do the neatest thing. You've been on dates before, right? Well, this will be the best date. You'll love this. And so I went there. And this is so funny. I went there. Her dad pretended like he was deaf. And so I walked in and said, hi, Mr. Kendall. Huh? Hi, Mr. Kendall. Huh? Hi, Mr. Kendall. Of course, everybody's chuckling a little bit, you know. And so the entire time we're there, Mr. Kendall, I'm taking your daughter out tonight. Good. Yeah, good. Where are you going? We're going to Bow and Q. You ever been there? This is what's so cool about going on a date with me. You go And we shot bow and arrow. We shot bow and arrow. And it also had a, it was a really classy pool hall that you shot bow and arrow and you played pool. Huh? Is that neat? Every girl wants to do that. When you leave, they think you're William Tell or Robin Hood. And you are like King Richard or like Lancelot. I mean, you are the guy. And so, anyway, we had a great date, and then that led to another date, and then we, and it was so neat, because my youth pastor challenged us not to kiss our girlfriends until we knew it was real love. And so that was like, you know, I knew it was real love, like, after the first date, but I couldn't kiss her forever and ever. And then we were married 4 years later, and now we've been happily married for lots of years, and we have twin daughters and a son, and I have grandchildren now. Oh, did I mention I have two grandsons, or two son-in-laws? Here's a picture. I'll pass it around so you can see my family. I want you to see my family so you get to know them. I think you can tell a lot by a family. And I've got a good family. You'll see they're all smiling there. Take a look at them. Take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah chapter 6. For the next few minutes, we're going to look at Isaiah chapter 6. I'm going to go back to Isaiah. I love the message last night. What a great message from the Word of God. Wasn't that great in Isaiah chapter 1? How many thought that was great? Slip your hands up. Several of you made good decisions. How many made a decision that you'd be willing and ready to hear God's Word? If you made that decision, stand to your feet right now. If you made that decision, stand to your feet. God bless you. May set back down. All right, now, let's look at Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. Let's all stand. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. Verses 1 through 9. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, and for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go, and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Father, I thank you for your word, the power of it. You can only imagine. You've given us imagination, this scene in heaven. As Isaiah is moved as he sees you. Dear God, might we be moved this week as we see you, as we get a better view of you, as we understand in a greater way the Almighty God of heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Isaiah could not believe that God wanted him to prophesy. The people weren't listening. God wanted to give them another opportunity to hear his word. But the people did not see God in his throne. People did not see God's ways or recognize God's words. God is saying to Isaiah, get your eyes off yourself and get your eyes on me. Get your eyes off yourself. Get your eyes off the discouragement. Get your eyes off the disappointments. Get your eyes off the degradation of the world around you. And get your eyes on me. You know, we all need to get a better view of God. We all need to recognize our God in heaven is not just sitting up there somewhere way beyond the clouds. But our God in heaven wants to be involved in our lives. He wants us to see Him. He wants us to be involved in a relationship that produces great fellowship. I want us to notice a few things this morning. I want us to realize there are great truths here, can help each of us realize our need, our calling, and open our eyes to the needs of others. God is saying, again, get your eyes off yourself and put your eyes on me. First of all, notice in verses 1, 2, 3, and 4, Isaiah saw the throne. Isaiah's lofty view of God gives us a sense of God's majesty and God's holiness. As you read this portion of Scripture, and it's a wonderful portion of Scripture, Isaiah's example of recognizing his sinfulness before God encourages us that when we see God, we get a better view of ourselves. We recognize the holiness and majesty of God, but realize how worthless we are. Why would God send His only begotten Son to die for us in our sin? The Bible says in John 3:16, what a wonderful message you heard from Brother Young this morning on salvation. If you're here and you're not sure you're saved, I saw a couple hands and you were a bit timid in raising your hand. If you're not sure you're saved, you need to make sure you're saved. I've been sure I've been saved for a lot of years of my life. And I can tell you the wonderful life of the Lord Jesus Christ has given me, the abundant life Jesus Christ has given me is a wonderful life. And I'd like you to know that life. It is a great life. But God wants us to see Him. God wants us to understand that He is a loving God in heaven. And Isaiah, take your eyes off of this world. He got a vision of God's majesty. Historically, Isaiah just witnessed the death of King Uzziah. And things were really a mess on planet Earth, especially for Isaiah and the children of Israel. Isaiah, get your eyes on me. I remember when I was growing up, when I was a junior higher, our president, President John F. Kennedy, was assassinated. Now, there's not many in this room that were around at that time, but I just happened to be getting on the bus, getting ready to go home. Everybody was weeping and crying, and the bus driver said, "The president has been assassinated." But there were people there that had never, ever bowed their heads to Jesus, as far as I've seen in my life. They never prayed. Matter of fact, some of them had made fun of me praying at lunchtime when I would bow my head and pray for my lunch. I carried a Bible to school. My dad challenged me and my youth pastors challenged me to carry my Bible to school and read your Bible during some spare time at school. Well, some of those people had made fun of me, but now all of a sudden they were bowing their heads and they were praying to God and asking God to help our country. How things changed when the world had been shaken. Isaiah records, "I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple." What a sight. And then to see the seraphim. The seraphim are an order of angels that God used to commission Isaiah. Matter of fact, this is the only place in the Bible they're mentioned, the seraphim. And I can imagine as we see the description of them, how absolutely majestic they must have looked. I see two great truths here, and I want you to notice them with me this morning. Although there may be confusion on earth, down here on planet Earth, there is organization and peace in heaven. I think God wanted Isaiah to see that. Isaiah, get your eyes off yourself and put your eyes on me. We look at the world that we're living in right now, and what a great description we heard last night with Pastor Matt as he was telling us about the situation our world's in today. It's a mess. I mean, we are living in a day of uncertainty. It's confusing down here. It's unsettled at best. You know what I'm talking about, unsettled, huh? It's like I was driving down the road not long ago, and I was drinking a Diet Coke. Matter of fact, I have one up here right now. Anybody thirsty? Vicariously, I'll be drinking this for you, too. And I didn't notice, but Clint was sitting next to me, and he was eating pretzels, and I didn't notice that he had, all of a sudden, Clint is my 25-year-old Down syndrome son. How many know who I'm talking about when I talk about Clint? Clint is a lot of fun. 25 years old. He's great. He knows about 120 scripture verses. He ushers at our church. He does all kinds of neat things. He's back. If he's at church right now, he's probably vacuuming. He does a lot of things at church. Well, anyway, Clint thinks anything is mine is his. I mean, sometimes in church on Sunday, I'll look and he'll be wearing one of my nicest ties. And I'll look at it and say, hey, man, whose tie is that? He says, sharing. So I'm drinking my Diet Coke, putting it down. I'm talking on the phone. All of a sudden, I pick my Diet Coke back up and I drink, and there's a wad of something in my Diet Coke. I mean, how many know what I'm saying? You're saying this is unsettling. How many would think this would be unsettling? Yes, it was unsettling. And so I don't want to spit it out all over my car. And so I just... unsettling. Unsettling. Well, they were unsettled. It was tough. All right, let me talk to you. Let me ask you. What are some disappointments or discouragements? Or what are some problems that you see that are affecting you in having peace here on earth? All right? What are some things? Tell me some things that as a teenager you would say would be unsettling as we live our lives right now. Yes, sir. Direction of our government. There he is. Direction of our government. Right over there. Direction of... what do you call those guys? The group, Tea Party. Tea Party guy right there. You like tea, right? Okay, Tea Party guy. Hey, man, take your shades off. What do you think? You look down there. Take your shades off. Are those your regular glasses? Oh. Yeah. Yeah, just don't be bringing out anything and start smoking and tell me that's prescription, too. And prescription. Yeah, okay, all right. I'm from the Midwest, excuse me. All right. Look like Stevie Wonder there. He's from Saginaw. All right, what's some other ones? All right, direction of our government. Give me some other things. Come on. Are you bothered? What are you bothered by as teenagers? What are you bothered by? Tell me, you bothered by anything? Huh? You bothered by? Yes. What's that? All right. Back over here. Somebody else. Right here. Pretty girl standing between two boys right here. Right there. Is there something that bothers you? What bothers teenagers today? She's pretty, but what? You calling me? I'm a beauty queen. I'm not a valedictorian. Okay, tell me, what? He bothers you, right? Okay, that's good. All right, get somebody else. Back over there, yes. People taking advantage of our free men. You guys are deep. You guys are very deep. Yes. What? Gay marriages. All right. Yes. What's that? The mindset of most teenagers today. All right? Mindset of most teenagers today. Whoa, wow, this is heavy. I don't know if I can handle it. Yeah, over here. Degrading education system. Or like you're talking about, you want them to degrade the grades, you want to go from an A to a B. No. What? The divorce rate, all right. Yes. What? Acting. Now we're talking. That's good. That's good. That's good. That's good. You're my man. You're my man. Just get it up there, all right. Right there. What did he say? People I hate, rabbits? You better put the lunar air on your loony ticking. All right, over here. Culture. Subcultures. It's crazy today. We're living in a day where subcultures seem to be getting priority over every other culture. Yes, back there. What's that? Lack of Huron Mountains. Back over here, this young lady right here. Siblings, all right? Yeah, they can be. Yes, back here. Illegal immigration. I'm telling you. Yes, back there.
Safari.
Safari. Okay. Truth is, let's get back to this. Truth is, Bin Laden, terrorism, it's confusing out here, unsettled. God is saying, hey, listen, Isaiah, I'm in control. How many believe God's in control? God is in control. So get your eyes on me. Truth is, we need to take our eyes off the temporary and put them on the eternal. That's what this is all about. God gave him a vision of his majesty. Notice in verse number 1, the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Second, God gave him a vision of his holiness. In verse number 3, the Bible says, and one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy. And man, this was a loud cry. It shook the posts of the building in verse number 4. The Lord of hosts, the whole world or whole earth is full of His glory. The time is one of worship. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. What a great response. A great example. Look at the angels. Look at Isaiah. Now, look at their worship. Now, look at your worship. You say, worship? Yeah. How much time do you spend praising God? Do you see God? Do you picture God? Do you see God on the throne? Is your Christianity superficial like so many who are just going through the road? Just going through the motions? Or do you really see God? Oh, really? Do you bow your head and do you see God? Do you see the access you have because of the Lord Jesus Christ? You see the throne room because you now have access because the veil's been split because of Jesus' death on Calvary's tree. What a great response. Honoring God, praising God, worshiping God. Recognizing the true and living God as His God. His Heavenly Father. Worship. You say, well, that's for old guys like you. No, it's for all of us. All of us need to daily see God. All of us daily need to worship God. You know, worship Him by praying and by getting in the Word of God. But worship takes time. Scheduling, timing, devotions. And we don't really take time for God. We kind of fit God into our time. It takes thought. A lot of young people aren't thinking about God. As far as that goes, a lot of older people aren't thinking about God. But we need to think about God. We need to have good thoughts about God, meditating upon the Word of God. It takes truth. The Word of God. Good music. Good literature. It takes truth. But truth has been discarded for convenience, discarded for a TV controller, discarded for an iPod, discarded because it's not that cool. It takes transformation. Romans 12, 1 and 2, renewing of your mind. Truth of the matter is, we are what we think. How many believe that? We are what we think. Huh? How many believe that? Tell the person next to you, I don't think we have a lot of belief in that. We are what we think. Go tell them. We are what we think. 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 If we think about it, we recognize we're not thinking enough about our God. See, God and His holiness, is it important to you? What we really need is more thinking on God. What do you really need? Most say, well, you know, I could use another good friend, or I could use a boyfriend, or I could use a girlfriend, or I could use clothes, I could use a car, maybe a pizza or a burger or nachos. Really, well, what do you need? What do you really need? If you're like the normal Christian teenager, you need to spend more time with God. We just don't spend the time we ought to spend with God. We let the temporary so confuse us. We let the temporary, the stuff down here, so get our attention, we don't take time to see God. Time with God is the only absolute imperative in life. He saw the throne, he sensed the touch. The chronology is Isaiah saw the throne. Secondly, Isaiah sensed the touch. You can see it in verse number 5. If you notice there in verse number 5, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. What made him conscious of his sin? What made him conscious of his sin? Anybody? Yes. He saw God. He saw God. What makes you conscious of your sin? You see God. Last night, when you heard the preaching, you became conscious of the fact that you needed to be more willing to receive the Word of God. That's why many of you responded in the way you responded. Well, what makes us see our sin? It's like Job in Job 42, 5 and 6. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and I repent in dust and ashes. Peter in Luke chapter 5 and verse number 8, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. In 1 John 1, 9, John, speaking to those Christians there, giving them truth to help them in their Christian lives, said, if we confess our sin, the word confess there means to see our sin the way God sees our sin. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Will you look at the throne of God today? Just take some time and say, I'm going to see the throne. When you pray, do you see the throne? How do you pray? What do you see when you pray? You need to see the throne. You need to see God, His long-suffering, His mercy. See the throne. It'll make a difference in your Christian life. Look at the throne. When you look at the throne, you look at yourself and you see how unclean you are and how unworthy you are. You see the sin that's hindering you from really having the fellowship you need to have with God. And you recognize that sin, even as Isaiah saw the sin, and you say, I got to get rid of this sin. I want God to bless me. I want God's blessings upon me. I want to be used of God. It wasn't until Isaiah confessed his sin that God was able to bless him and use him. Matter of fact, he was miserable in his sin. Isaiah was cleansed from his sin. He confessed and he cleansed. He was cleansed. What a great picture. We look at the cleansing fire. We don't have time to get involved in all this. And then we look at the coal from the altar. This speaks of purifying. Then we looked at the throne, it speaks of conviction of sin. And then we look at the altar, it speaks of the cleansing and the sacrifice. I want you to see this. He didn't excuse his sin. He didn't ignore his sin. He didn't neglect his sin. He confessed his sin. And it's important that we see that. It's important that each of us see that we need to get a good view of God. And as we get a good view of God, we'll see our sin in a better way and will not be comfy with that sin, because we'll recognize that that sin is what put Jesus on the cross of Calvary, and that sin is what's hindering us from having the best fellowship and the best blessings from God. You know? Little Bethany, she's back there. She's a cute little thing. Bethany, will you wave? Will you wave? There she is. Got a little flower in her head. Will you wave? Would you wave? Would you come up here and see Pastor real quick? Come see Pastor Jackson real quick. Will you? Will you? She just, I mean, we are just best. We're boyfriend and girlfriend. And Yeah. Will you give me a hug? Will you give me a hug? She's just a dog. I love this little girl. Oh, she's so sweet. Okay, here. Wait. That's got no rips in it either. Okay, good. She knows it. She knows that I have money too. And so, I mean, when she sees me, she comes and sees me, you know? Because there's blessing that follows, you know? Huh? And it's important that we recognize the blessing of God. He saw the throne. He sensed the touch. He submitted to God's terms. First, Isaiah recognizes that his sin has hindered him from really being used of God. And so, Isaiah heeded the call and he submitted to God's terms. This wasn't an easy requirement. See, the entire nation, as we heard last night, had been ignoring God. And now he was going to be in the front trying to preach these people back to God. And they'd already been called Sodom and Gomorrah. Not many were receptive to the message. But Isaiah said, God, if you want me to do it, I'll do it. I accept it. And then he was sent away with the truth. He was able to help himself and to help others. Is there sin you need to take care of in your life? What sin's hindering you from getting God's best? From being used for God. Not just going through the motions, but really making a difference in your Christian life. How is your view of God? What sins are hindering you? What sins are you harboring you think that nobody else knows about, but you know that God knows about it because God sees your life? In Psalm 139, take your Bibles and turn there. Psalm 139. Psalm 139. The Bible says, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsetting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my laying down and art acquainted with all my ways. God knows everything. So what sin? What sin's hindering you from getting God's best and from being really used of God for the cause of Christ? Take your Bibles and turn to James 4 as we close. James 4. James 4, verse 5. Do ye think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. That verse is telling us to draw near to God, and as we draw near to God, God draws near to us. And cleanse your hands. As we get close to God, we see the sin, and we take care of that sin. Let me illustrate it. If I'm walking down here, and I walk down carefully because I have bad knee, and I go back here to, let me see. I'm going to go back to this guy right here. Hello. How you doing?
Pretty good.
Now, what if I had preached the entire message from this position today? It would be different. You think maybe you might have paid attention a little better?
Probably.
Did you pay attention?
Yes.
Good, I thought so. Uh-huh. Looking in my eyes, what color are my eyes?
Brownish.
Brownish. What do you think? You think this would have maybe made a difference in how you paid attention if I was right in front of you like this?
Yeah.
Right. How about you, buddy? Huh? Yep, right away, huh? Huh? He says to these guys, help me out here, help me out. Now, did my size change? Did I gain any weight from there to here? I'm the same size. Same size. My voice change? Huh? No. Everything's the same with me. What's the difference?
You're closer.
You are not only a handsome guy, but you've got a pretty good aptitude there. I like that. I'm just quickly assessing. All right, quickly. That's the point. Take your eyes off of yourself and put your eyes on God. Get a view of God. How many think that would make a difference? How many? How many think it would make a difference? It would make a difference. It would make a difference in the way you read your Bible. It would make a difference in the way you pray. It would make a difference in your friendships with other people. It would make a difference for the cause of Christ. You see God, you'll see His love and His compassion. You'll recognize that He sent His only Son, Jesus, to die for sinners. What are you doing to help reach them with the gospel? We need to get a better view of God, don't we? Let's bow our heads and hearts together. Father, I thank You for the opportunity You've given us to open the Word of God this morning. I pray, Father, that You'd be with these young people. And I pray, Heavenly Father, You'd be with the decisions they're going to make this week that can help them become better Christians, better servants. Isaiah walked in that throne room miserable and he left a missionary. Father, today I trust that these young people understand the wonderful opportunity they have to view